Good morning. So my name again is Brent, and I'll be speaking today on teaching young adults about the food system. My colleagues and I are from the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future, based out of the School of Public Health, where our work is based around the relationships between public health, diet, food production, and the environment. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. So today I'll be talking about why we developed Teaching the Food System, a curriculum for high school educators. I'll cover several different approaches to teaching youth about the food system. And finally, I'll conclude with several examples from our curriculum and what that looks like when it's implemented in the classroom. So why teach the food system? Farmer and author Wendell Berry once wrote that how we eat determines to a considerable extent how the world is used. And I'd be far from the first person to say that our youth will inherit the role of stewarding the world's resources. So what we teach them about their decisions and the decisions made upon their behalf is of tremendous importance. When youth make choices about what they eat, what they buy, and what they eat, they affect their personal health and wellness, but they also vote with their forks, perhaps unknowingly, for practices that affect public health, environmental quality, and social justice, just to name a few. And adolescents in particular are transitioning to a point where they have greater autonomy over their food choices. And so our hope through this curriculum is to help teachers in empowering youth to make more informed choices by changing their knowledge and perhaps a shift in behavior towards their food choices. There's been some research to show that giving youth a holistic view of the food system can actually significantly improve healthy eating behaviors, and it can also foster a shift toward more positive attitude toward the environment and towards fresh produce. And as Jennifer has talked about, and as Sam will speak to as well, we primarily think of youth as consumers, but right now they're certainly much more than that. They can be involved in the food system as food producers. They can be involved in these kinds of wellness campaigns that Jennifer has talked about. But that's right now. When you think about their roles down the road, they're going to be shaping the future of our food system as farmers, as producers, as researchers, as business owners, policymakers, and otherwise engaged citizens in the food system. So perhaps by this point, I've convinced you that there's value in teaching youth about the food system. Let's take a look at how this can actually be done in the classroom. So in a school environment, you can teach students about the food system in a traditional classroom environment, but you can also give them hands-on experience using the school garden, a school kitchen, or the broader community as their classroom. And then finally, as Jennifer and Sam has talked about, you can change their school food environment in ways that expand and broaden their experience of food. So, for example, you can source regional organic produce in the cafeteria, or you might actually allow students to see their food, their school meals being prepared. And these are some things that are actually being done. And again, some of these initiatives are actually being led by youth. And here are just a couple examples of different programs that are along these different categories. And so our research found that among in-class academic curriculum, there's pretty much a wealth of resources targeting lower grade levels, but there's very little targeting a high school audience. And of those programs that, of those curriculum that do target a high school audience, they really only focus in on a narrow facet of the food system. And while there's value in that, we felt that there's value in a more holistic approach that conveys the whole food system in a holistic manner to students. And so that was really our rationale for developing Teaching the Food System, was to address this gap. So I'll give a couple examples of what our curriculum might look like when it's implemented in the classroom. So when we teach the food system about food, where do we start, right? So one of the many questions we ask students is, who's involved in getting our food from field to plate? So So who are these people and what do they do? So let's try that right now. If you wouldn't mind, please just shout out the first things that come to mind. There are really no wrong answers. I know it's early, but shout out. Who's involved in the food system? Anyone? Farmers, yes. Who else?
Distributors.
Great. Okay, you probably saw my slides because you're right on here. Exactly. You've got farmers, you've got distributors, you've got all these people involved in activities in the food system. So if you use orange juice as an example, you have farmers growing oranges in groves, of course, which are produced into orange juice, distributed to retailers where they are sold to consumers. If you're a composter, you might be irate because there's something missing here, and that is the flow of organic matter, which includes food waste and animal waste, that's going to go from all of these processes, ideally, though it's not often the case, it's going to flow back into the soil where it's going to complete the cycle and facilitate further production. So these are some of the things that students are going to be learning about. So what else is in the food system? Well, it also encompasses these relationships between food, health, society, and the environment. So I'm just going to give a few examples of how these parts of the food system are related. So our food supply is obviously dependent on parts of the environment, like soil, crops, and food animals. It depends, roughly 35% of our global food supply is partly dependent on the good work of bees and other pollinators. In turn, the environment, or our environment rather, is impacted by the way that we produce and process food. So as an example, the use of agricultural chemicals can decrease biodiversity among beneficial organisms. And these practices can also impact our health. And this is also a social justice issue, because many of the health burdens within the food system are disproportionately shouldered by certain populations. Just to give one example of that, rural communities in particular are impacted by the conditions and practices associated with what we call industrial food animal production, which I'd be happy to explain afterwards at length if you're not familiar with it. In this photo, there's someone's home in the foreground, and in the background you can see concentrated animal waste that's being sprayed onto fields. So again, these are just a few examples from what is a very complex system, and you could easily spend an entire semester exploring the relationships within the food system. But the key point here is that all of these parts are so connected that when you change one, you can't change one without changing all of the others. And sometimes, if you're not careful, you change them in unintended ways. And that's really one of the take-home messages about this curriculum that we want to convey to students, is this idea of holistic systems thinking and understanding the relationships between parts. And that doesn't just apply to the food system. So the Center of Eco-Literacy does a lot of work around educating youth about sustainability in the food system. I think they put it nicely when they say that a systems approach helps young people understand the complexity of the world around them and encourage them to think in terms of relationships, connectedness, and context. In our curriculum, just out of necessity, we've broken up this system into 11 parts. But within each of these modules, we continually refer, cross-reference the other modules so that students keep these holistic relationships in mind. And if you can tell, these 11 modules are listed roughly in the order of the life cycle of food, from food to plate. And partly in response to teacher focus groups, each of these modules is what we call classroom ready, in that it includes everything that a busy, overwhelmed teacher would need to teach it, including background readings, a lesson plan, lecture slides, lecture script, and so forth. But I should emphasize that the emphasis on this curriculum is not so much on didactic, passive learning and lecturing. It's really more on engaging you through dialogue, discussions, debates, and group projects. I should really take my own advice because I've been talking at you for 10 minutes. But anyway, let's take a look at one of these modules. So one of our favorites is a module on eating and nutrition. And there's an activity in here that students go through. It's called Why Do We Eat What We Eat? And in this, students will brainstorm the influences on their food choices. So just for kicks, since it's 8:30 in the morning, let's try that right now. Think about what you ate for lunch yesterday. What influenced you to eat it? There are no wrong answers. Shout out some answers. It was convenient. Time, yes. Price, right. Okay, so it sounds like you've mentioned some issues of cost. Not only financial cost, but also time cost. Convenience as well. So if we were in the classroom, I'd actually be writing these down on the blackboard, and then together, collaboratively, we'd be grouping these. And, you know, students, the way students group these might not look exactly like this, but had they gone through the other modules in the curriculum, they might remember that, oh, I remember that module I learned on marketing and labeling. I bet marketing is probably influencing some of my food choices, right? There's an excellent module on food security that covers issues of access and cost, which you guys mentioned, so they might come up with that. And then after this activity, then the next step, students will, in their journals, identify specific examples from their own lives as to how these influence their food choices. So if I were a student, I might say, let's see, well, for emotion, I was feeling anxious this morning about my presentation for APHA. So that emotion of anxiety influenced me to eat 6 donuts. Not really, but. Let's take a look at another example. How about food animal production? See, it's voice activated. Just kidding. So in this module, we actually partnered with the Maryland Institute College of Art to develop a short film, expressly to enhance the curriculum with story-driven, engaging media. So these are some scenes from the film. Students will watch clips featuring narratives from farmers, researchers, and community organizers working around food animal production. And they'll respond to these clips with discussion questions that challenge them to compare and contrast industrial food animal production and more pasture-based alternatives. Okay, I think I have time for another example here. Let's check out food safety. So in this module, students, again, they'll revisit some of these recurring relationships. So in this module, to reinforce some of those relationships between the way that we produce our food and public health, students will explore the ways in which the conditions and practices in industrial food animal production can actually foster the spread of pathogens and chemical hazards into our food supply. And then to conclude this module, they'll actually take on roles as health investigators in response to an outbreak of gastroenteritis. And if you've ever taken an EPI course, you know that the culprit responsible for the outbreak is always egg salad. Okay, so to wrap this up, we're actually in the final stages right now of peer reviewing the lesson plans and adding some polish. We'll be launching a formal pilot evaluation among select Baltimore schools shortly. And if you'd like to follow our work or the curriculum, please don't hesitate to shoot us an email or follow us on our website. Thank you very much.